We are chatting art, transport, communications, history. That's CATCH. I call it a catch cast for some strange reason. We're hoping to get you as fascinated by our geeky subjects as myself and the wonderful guests. And in today's edition, we're celebrating music that is all about trains. How many songs are there about the railways? Surely just a handful. Who would know the answer to this and why? Today we are honoured to be joined by author Spencer Vignes. Welcome to the Catchcast, Spencer.
Well, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Spence, you've written a whole book on this subject, which we will get to talk about, but maybe I can just start you off by getting you to tell us what first attracted you to the very, very specific genre of the train song.
It does sound a bit specific, doesn't it? I can, you know, trust me, listeners, it's not. There's a bit in this for everyone. It's not, well, it's slightly geeky, isn't it? But not really as geeky as it sounds. I think it goes right the way back to 1997, and in a previous life, I was working as a journalist, an entertainment correspondent out in California, very glam. And I had the chance to interview Carl Perkins, you know, the kind of king of rockabilly, mm-hmm. you know, who's recorded various songs, you know, Blue Suede Shoes, probably the most famous. And I was scratching my head before we spoke, trying to think of a couple of good opening questions that didn't involve Elvis Presley. Because, of course, Carl Perkins is probably most famously associated with Elvis, you know, Blue Suede Shoes and that song. And I thought, what can I ask him that isn't anything to do with Elvis? Because everyone will have asked him about Elvis over the years. And I'd seen him not long before then on television singing the song, you know, This Train is Bound for Glory, kind of an old spiritual song. I'd seen him on TV singing that with, I think it was Roy Orbison. And he talked about trains and what trains kind of meant in music then. And, you know, I like trains. Growing up, I loved the old steam trains and the kind of early diesel trains and what have you. And I thought, I know, I'll just ask him about that. I'll go in a bit left field and see what he says. And so I did. I said I'd just seen him performing This Train is Bound for Glory. And off we went talking about train songs. And he said, and I've written this down just for you, Mark, right? This is his quote at one point. I love this quote. He said, I don't think you can come from where I come from and not have a deep affection for the railroads. It's that sound, that rhythm, and it's what they mean. Love, loss, hope, escape, even death, because that's what the train is in the gospel sense. It's the train that's going to take you to heaven if you've been good, or someplace else if you ain't. And then he said, Roy, Bill Monro, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, John, and he meant Johnny Cash there. Everyone's got their train song because everyone loves a train. I wrote that down. I kept it. You know, I'm always, as a journalist, you're always kind of hoarding information stuff. I kept that. Didn't really do much with it after that. And then many years later, I was out driving on the M62 motorway back in this country by then, with my young daughter, and she was sat in the back seat, and we just had Mystery Train had just been on the radio. And she said to me, she said, Dad, why are there so many songs about trains? And I was like, typical know-it-all dad way. I think I said, oh, there's not that many, is there? And then, of course, you start thinking about it. And I remember getting home that night, and I put Rhiannon and my daughter to bed, and I thought, right, train songs, train songs. And I went on the internet, because the internet didn't exist in 1997 when I'd spoken to Carl Perkins, but it did by then. Got on the internet, Googled train songs, and there was one page, I remember, a Google search engine that just came up with train songs, and there were hundreds. And some of them I'd heard of, and some of them I hadn't. And out of that, the idea for a book was born. I thought, well, someone must have written about, you know, a book about train songs over the years, you know. Just kind of about what they mean, as Carl Perkins said, you know, about, you know, love, loss, escape, that kind of thing. But no one had. So I thought, well, you know, this will only work if I write to some of the people who've sung those train songs or written those train songs, and if they're willing to talk to me and if they're willing to be interviewed. And amazingly, just about all of them were. One or two, I got no reply. Paul McCartney never got back to me, and Robert Plant never got back to me. Oh, and Paul Weller. I desperately wanted Paul Weller because he's written loads, you know, both as a solo artist and with the Jam. But apart from those three, pretty much everybody else did. I started doing the interviews and off I went. And the book, The Train Kept a Rolling, was the result.
Wow. That's a beautiful story. And it chimes in with myself as a writer as well, because I remember I was collecting transit maps and people kept borrowing them off of me and I'd get them back and they'd be all dog-eared. And I thought to myself, again, prior to the internet being big, surely someone else has written a book with all of these things together and people stopped borrowing my precious transit maps. And sure enough, nobody had. And I thought, well, if no one's written a book, I'll have a go at doing it. And that's how my book writing started.
Yep, you're right. Sometimes, Mark, I think the best ideas are just staring you or everyone in the face. And, you know, you can't see the wood for the trees. And when you have that idea, it's brilliant. It's like a eureka moment, isn't it? And off you go.
Now, I was racking my brains here and I was trying to think of some of my early train songs that I noticed the first time. And don't laugh, but I think...
Oh, go on.
I'm intrigued.
Go for it.
I think the first one was Sheena Easton doing 9 to 5, where there's that video of her on the tube train.
Yeah, she's in the book. She did an interview. Yeah, she's got, was it 9 to 5 and also Modern Girl, you know, which is the story of a modern woman. Well, I say modern woman. This is, when was it, 45 years ago, I think, Modern Girl. That and 9 to 5 came out at around the same time, and they're songs about people who catch trains to work. Mm. So, you know, it's the old commuter kind of story. So, yeah, I'm not going to laugh at that. You've got a good one there.
The other one that really seemed to ring true to me as well as a sort of a young lad growing up gay in the 1980s was Old Small Town Boy by Bronski Beep, because that was all about the lad leaving home on the train and everything. And that one really got to me as well.
Yeah, I think, I don't know for certain, but I think that's a pretty personal tale from Jimmy Somerville as well. You know, coming down from Glasgow, coming to London. And do you remember the video as well? The video was set, you know, with him leaving a kind of a small town and getting on the train and walking through the station and going to the big city and everything like that. So, yeah Small Town Boy. Great song. Just a great song.
And then there's that one that we nattered about on social media before I invited you onto the show, that album by Jerry Rafferty.
Oh.
That one has got so many train-related things in it, hasn't it?
I should say that the album is City to City, which came out in 1978 by the late, great Jerry Rafferty. And he wrote it, more or less, that whole album. Even the songs on that album that aren't about trains were pretty much written on trains going up and down between London and Glasgow. Glasgow, where he lived, and London, where his record company was. And the story goes that he'd been in contractual difficulties, which had prevented him from recording for quite a while. So he was going up and down on the train quite a lot from Scotland to meetings in London with, you know, record companies and lawyers and things. And he used the raw material of those train journeys to write the songs that became City to City.
Ah, you see, now that rings a bell too, because one of the lyrics, I think, of the title track is from city to city, it's 400 miles. And of course, that is the distance between Glasgow and London, roughly.
Yeah, it's another one. There's always makes me think as well, there's, you know, the song Big Country's Fields of Fire.
Oh, I think I do, yeah.
And there's a great line in that, you know, 400 miles. They keep on saying 400 miles. I think it's the subtitle of the actual song. And again, that is also the mileage from either Glasgow. Well, it's both pretty much the same from Glasgow and Edinburgh to King's Cross stations and Euston stations in London. It's 400 miles. So, and Big Country were, of course, a Scottish band. So, yeah, very, very similar, but you're right. Yeah.
Now, you got me racking my brains there, and I think I made about 20 off the top of my head, including many that you've mentioned. And I guess you discovered a lot more train songs, Spencer.
Yeah, I mean, I was helped because I found this list on the internet, and I think there was about 600 songs on that. And as I said before, I mean, some of them I'd heard of and others I hadn't. I mean, there were really were like, you know, obscure kind of country and western songs from the 1920s and 30s that I didn't have a clue about. But the vast majority were songs, you know, that you think, oh, yeah, you know, that one and this one and that one. And I mean, some are more obvious, you know, it's like, you know, Visage, Midnight Train to Georgia, you know, Gladys Knight and the Pips, and Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash, Last Train to Clarksville. Some of them are right there staring you in the face, but there's loads of others that you would never, ever think are actually train songs. Like, you know, songs, for instance, take the Green Green Grass of Home by Tom Jones, mm-hmm. and you go, well, that's not a train song. But what's the first line? Can you remember?
No, I don't think I do.
Yeah, he steps off the train. He comes back. The old town looked the same as I stepped down from the train.
Ah.
So there's songs like that where trains are literally used by the singer or the songwriter as a vehicle, songwriting vehicle, to move the song along, mm-hmm. to take the song from one place to the next. You know, it could be somebody going to meet somebody, somebody getting away from somewhere. How do you escape? There's something romantic about escaping by train, particularly the old kind of trains. You can see how powerful and how alluring they were to songwriters. You know, it's you're in a situation, you don't like it, you want to get away. Well, you go down to the railroad station and you get on the train and it takes you someplace better. You know, that kind of idea. And I think that's what was so seductive to songwriters for so, so many years. Mm,
beautiful. Now, I was wondering, have you ever thought about making a compilation album or at very least a playlist on Spotify or something like that?
I'm pretty good at writing words and not too bad at talking about things as well, but I'm not exactly kind of up with, you know, how to make things and whatever. I just get other people to do that. Normally my kids, I must admit.
Well, I mean, you've done so well to get us all thinking about it. And we are actually celebrating 200 years of the railway this year. So yeah. It makes me wonder when trains songs started. I'm guessing it's a sort of late 20th century thing.
Actually, no. It's train songs have been around for pretty much as long as there have been trains. In fact, the first train song, I mean, you know, the oldest ones do tend to come out of the United States. And the first train song is, I think it was a song called The Carrollton March. And it was written to celebrate and mark the opening of a railway line in the United States. But it was actually written before the railway line was completed.
Wow.
So the song predates the railway line in question. But it really, as long as there have been railways, you know, there have been people singing songs about them. You know, Casey Jones and things and what have you. And in America, it was very much part of the landscape, part of their culture, particularly in the western part of the United States. Quite often, you know, with the settlements out there, the trains came first. And, you know, in America, the railway line will go down the middle of the high street, or did at one point. And there's a reason for that, is that the railway line came first and the rest of the town was built around it. So when you've got a railway line going right the way through the middle of your town and you've got people singing and performing and everything like that, and you've got trains going up and down right the way in full view of the whole town, people are going to sing and write songs about them. And that's what
you're so right. Railways really built the centre of the United States of America and the centre of all continents. So I sometimes say to people, look, if you ever look at a satellite photograph at nighttime and you see the little dots of lights all the way across the insides of the continents, pretty much most of those will have been established by the railways, because the railways penetrated the inland areas.
That's right. And the same, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to, you know, quite a few American artists and songwriters about this, but I was also talking, I don't know if the name Chris Difford rings a bell with you, who was, still is, the songwriter in the band Squeeze.
Mm.
And he was telling me a story about how, I can't remember the relative, one of his relatives in his family, he said, well, everyone always thinks that that kind of thing is like very American. But he said, one of my relatives lived in Somerset, and he got a job building the railways that were going to London, and then he moved to London. So that sense of kind of movement of people and things and the way that the railways changed and shaped countries, I mean, that's as relevant as it is in the United Kingdom as it is in the United States.
Mm. And Squeeze, I always wondered about that tune of theirs, Up the Junction, but that's probably not to do with trains, is it?
No, not really. But, you know, it is a junction and it is Clapham. So I think a lot of people, you know, jump on that. But, I mean, Squeeze, they're another. It almost becomes quite funny. I remember when the book came out, and, you know, people used to come up to me and say, right, well, my favourite band's this band. What train songs have they got? And bizarrely, we'd normally always kind of like come up, well, they've got this and this and this. I mean, Squeeze, off the top of my head, I can think they've got a song called Third Rail,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of uses the metaphor of the third rail that drives trains in the south of England or areas of the south of England to a failed relationship. And I'm trying to think, they've probably got some, they've got a few train references, I think. But I love Third Rail, that's a great one.
Oh, I'm going to check that out. Now, your book, I mean, we're going to give the title now, How the Train Song Changed the Face of Popular Music. Now, that was published in 2016, and you've given us a few reactions to the book. What other kind of reactions did you get when it first came out?
Very good, actually. There was a little bit of bemusement, as you said, you know, it's like, and my first reaction when I was talking to my daughter, and my daughter asked me, you know, Dad, why are there so many train songs? It's like, well, are there? And then, of course, when people stop and think about it, I did a lot of interviews, you know, at the time, TV, radio, mags and things. And, you know, people would always say, well, are there that many? And then you start listing them and going into the subject matter. And, of course, they're songs that are household names. So it got some great coverage, some really great coverage. But unfortunately, not in the music press and not in the transport press, because I think the transport and the train press thought, oh, it's a music book. And the musos kind of press thought, oh, that's a transport book. So quite a lot of people didn't get to hear about it, who probably should have got to hear about it at the time. But hey, I'm not complaining.
Well, we're blowing your trumpet right here. And you've done a lot on social media, which is where I first came across it. And have you had on social media a lot of readers interact with you and make extra suggestions, maybe things that you didn't know about?
Never underestimate people's knowledge. And I mean, it's wonderful that. I think the Twitter was something I was never or X or whatever they're calling it this week. It was never really something I did much of. Until I think when we went into COVID, and then of course, you know, we were all locked down and you're sitting in your goldfish bowls and at home. And I thought, oh, you know, I just remembered that the publisher of the book, Soundcheck Books, had set up a Twitter account to promote the book. And I went looking for it just to see if it was still there. And I think it had 20 followers or something like that. I'd never done anything with it. So I just started putting a few things up, you know, to keep us all interested while we were all in lockdown. You know, what's your favorite train song? What's this? What's that? And a few people seem to get interested. So that's still there. Yeah, everyone's got their favorites. And the wonderful thing is all the favorites are different. You know, everyone's got a different favorite train song. And that's the beauty of it. You know, it's never the same song that comes out on top.
Now, there was an academic researcher writing on the subject of train-related music. And, of course, I committed the heinous crime of asking her if such and such song was included. And her face, bless her, was absolutely forlorn. I won't do that to you. Oh, yeah, I will, actually. Did you include Puffing Billy by Edward White, which was the BBC Light programme's children's favourite theme, I think, in the 1950s and 60s?
I don't think I did, actually. I think it's listed at the back of the book. One thing I did was I did a list of 100 songs that are kind of like the better known train songs. Love Train by the OJs, you know, Down the Tube Station at Midnight, Force and Prison Blows, you know, Blues, you know, the really well known ones. And then I did 100 lesser known ones, kind of slow burners that people might want to go away and look up. Some of my favorites that I come across. And it was mentioned in there, and Coronation Scott as well, the old instrumental piece of music. It does get a mention in the lists at the back, but
you get top marks for that.
So my failure.
No, it's in there. It's in there. That's a success. Now, I'm guessing train songs aren't exclusive to the English language. How are you doing with collating songs in other lingo, Spencer?
Oh, I chickened out a little bit there, I must admit. I mean, English is, you know, it's the first language of modern pop music. Part of me did realise that, you know, if I was really, well, if I was going to go global in terms of different languages, India could probably fill a book on its own about train songs. Because so many songs in India involve, I mean, you've only got to look at, you know, most of their videos for songs are filmed around railway stations. Or with people riding on trains and singing and dancing on them. So I do refer to different countries and some of the different songs and foreign language songs, but I tended to keep it to the English language. And I mean, there's so many bands, you know, you take ABBA. ABBA have got quite a few train songs, Another Town, Another Train, and A lot of people love The Day Before You Came, one of the last ABBA songs, and well, of their heyday. And that, again, that's set in a railway, in a train environment. And I mean, ABBA chose, yeah, Swedish is their first language, but they chose to sing in English. So you think, well, stick to English and stick to the kind of bangers, so to speak, you know, the big songs. And
good point. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot, Spencer. Can I ask
Go on then.
Can I ask you to name some of your favourites and why?
Oh, how long have you got? I've mentioned it a couple of times in this conversation. I love Love Train by the OJs because it's one of those songs, you could dance to it, and the theme, it's a common train song theme, is the idea of one love. It's in reggae as well. Train songs often appear. It's the idea of you're all on this one train and it's going somewhere special. You're all pulling in the same direction, and that's what Love Train does, you know. The next stop that we make will be England. Tell all the folks in Russia and China too. The idea of this like world peace train, you know, kind of going round and, you know, one love. I love the sentiment in Love Train, but I love it as well because you can get up and dance to it, which occasionally I have been known to do, dare I say it.
And what does Rihanna say to that when Daddy starts dancing?
No, she just walks away or just rolls her eyes, or she's used to it. It's it's bad dancing, but I love dancing.
So it's done with passion.
So why not? Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I love White Room by Cream. That's great because it's a proper rock anthem. And again, that's set in railway stations. Funnily enough, in London, that's kind of saying goodbye to people, saying goodbye to lovers on trains and things. I love that. Listen to that. You might think White Room, that's not a train song. Listen to the words. Listen to the lyrics. You know, it very much is. Trans Europe Express by Kraftwerk, so we bring Germany into this as well. That's great because, again, that's an electronic song, but it's also, when you listen to it, it's set up to sound like a train. I asked many of the people who I interviewed for the book, you know, singers, songwriters, I asked them to nominate their favourite train song. Quite a few musicians actually named that. Andy McCluskey from OMD, you know, Orchestral Manoeuvres in the Dark. I got him starting on Trans Europe Express, and I think 3 days later he finished answering the question. It meant that much to him, basically, that song. There are just, there's just so many. Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash as well. You've got to name that one because that's the story of a man who is in jail, and he can hear the train from his jail cell. And the train represents the freedom that he hasn't got. Mm. They're probably drinking whiskey and smoking cigars, you know, in the restaurant car. You know, he's imagining what the passengers on this train are doing that he can hear, you know, in the distance going past his prison. You know, so the sound of the train is literally driving him mad. So those are a few. But again, that's a dangerous question to ask me, Mark, because, again, like Andy McCluskey, I'll be answering it for days.
And what about some of the more bizarre or obscure or even surprising references to trains? I mean, I know you've already listed many of those when we've been chatting, but are there any others that come to mind where you think, crikey, you would never think that is a song about trains, but when you look into the lyrics or the music video or whatever, suddenly it makes sense?
I remember when the book came out, and one of the many conversations I had in a pub, many conversations that I have tend to take place in pubs, and I remember talking to an old friend, and he knew about, you know, my love of songs and trains and whatever, and he's like, oh, only you would write a song like this, you know, there aren't this many songs and everything. And I'm like, right. And there was some poor lass in this pub doing karaoke, and she was absolutely murdering a song as we were talking, as we were trying to, you know, have our conversation. And I said, well, you say that, listen to this song, it's a train song. He listened and he looked at me kind of like, you know, and one cocked his head to the side. And the song was Don't Stop Believing by Journey. And he's like, why is this a train song? And it's the story of, you know, take the midnight train going anywhere. The boy takes the midnight train going anywhere. And the girl takes the midnight song and they meet. Don't stop believing. It's the idea of, like, you know, your hopes and dreams are at the end of kind of like wherever a train is going.
Wow.
And so I said, right, okay, by the end of the night, I bet you we'll have had five people on this karaoke machine will have sung songs about trains. And from what I remember, we smashed five and there was about eight or nine in the end. Just any mention of a train somewhere in the song. And at the end of it, he's like, yeah, I guess you're right. So, yeah, they turn up in the weirdest of places. Like, as I said, you know, Don't Stop Believing by Journey. You think, well, that's not a train song. But again, it's a train being used as a vehicle to tell a story.
Are there any kind of subgenres? You mentioned the wonderful Paul Weller earlier on. I mean, I'm thinking of several train songs about undergrounds or tram systems. I mean, there's the trolley song, Take the A Train, Going Underground itself. Are there subgenres, like sleeper train songs, for example?
Oh, that's dangerous territory, Mark, isn't it? Because, I mean, you could go off and, yeah, books out of books, aren't you, really? Yeah, I suppose there are. Underground trains. What's that? You're Beautiful. Who was it who sang the song You're Beautiful? James Blunt. And that had never kind of crossed my mind. I remember writing it as a train song. I remember while I was writing the book, and somebody, of course, while I was writing it, I never normally tell people what I'm doing. You know, you keep things to yourself. But I remember somebody at some point said, oh, You're Beautiful, James Blunt, look at that one. And I was like, well, why? But it's the story is of a guy seeing an old girlfriend on a tube train. And the whole song is played out in a tube train carriage when he sees this old flame across the, on the other side of the coach. So, yeah, there's loads. And as you said, down the tube station at midnight. But then, you know, again, I remember speaking to one of my interviewees was Robin Hitchcock, who's a musician who not everyone would be familiar with, but I happen to love. And I mean, one of his songs there is Trams of Old London.
Mm.
And I couldn't really mention that because it's not technically a train. But, you know, he had a couple of other train songs, but Trams. So, yeah, you know, you could go into subsections, but hey, I'll leave that to somebody else.
Well, Spencer, you've entertained us beautifully for the last hour about songs about trains. Maybe there is a second edition or another book for you or someone to do. But the next time that you hear the distant rattle of a freight train or a station name in a song, you know why there's a great book out there called Train Kept a Rolling, How the Train Song Changed the Face of Popular Music, and it's available online or in store. Thank you so much for joining us, Spencer.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Mark. Thanks for listening to my ramblings.
And I hope you, the listener, have enjoyed listening to Spencer and learning as much as I have. Next week's Catchcast is not to be missed. Also, we are going interrailing across Europe.